Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, America's self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice. Is that right? Did I get all that right? Talk show host? I thought he was anti-something else, too. No. Anti-embryonic stem cell research. Talk show host Bob Enyart, who's off on a lake, allegedly fishing with his boys on vacation out in, we don't know. He's somewhere in the Midwest. In parts unknown in the Midwest. I'm Doug McBurney, sitting in. I'm the host of the Weekly Worldview, right across the page there. If you get a chance, you want to check that out. It's a real hip happening show. This week's show was pretty lame because I was only half awake, and we had the baby and all that. So, go back a few shows, and you'll get some better material. But the number to call, we have a number to call because Bob Enyart Live does take calls. I don't take calls, and I probably won't take any today. But if you want to try and you think that you can bring something substantial to the table, give us a call, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278 for the alphanumerically challenged. And if you choose to do so, you can participate in the program. But don't feel any pressure, because I'm completely prepared for an hour of entertainment and education right here at KGOV.com. I don't necessarily need any callers. So not to shun anyone, not to scare anyone away, but keep in mind that our calls are very tightly screened here and that your chances of getting on the air are extremely thin unless, like I said, you bring something legitimate, weighty, and meaningful and deep and wide to the table so that we can discuss these type of things. But otherwise, just sit back and relax, because I've got it all under control. I know exactly what I'm doing, and I am prepared. So there. All right. I'm not sure if I want to start with, should I start with something funny or should I start with something serious? Let's see, what do I have on the top of my stack? Yeah, that's serious, that's a bummer. I've got two bummer stories right on the top, so let's go right to Rio de Janeiro. This is actually a story from last week, but it's one of those timeless stories. Starting last Thursday down there in Rio de Janeiro, which is, I believe, in Brazil, if my public education doesn't fail me, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, starting last Thursday and probably waking up with a hangover this morning, Greenpeace and state officials down there in Brazil will host a four-day rave party. Yeah, a four-day rave party down in the jungle. I'm sorry, down in the rainforest. Yeah, this rave party, which is going to go on for 4 days, is expected to lure tens of thousands of clubbers. What's a clubber? Matt hasn't, you know, I have no idea what a clubber is. People that go to clubs, are these the people that buy those ecstasy pills? Clubbers, yeah. And they put glitter all over them. They have piercings. Okay, I'm getting the picture. Tens of thousands of clubbers will attend this. Well, I guess the party's over. It started last Thursday. I'm a little late in covering this story. So 4 days, all night, all day, and they call it an environmentally correct dance party. Let's see, they set up two tents where the party was held, and the tents, by the way, were built with legally logged timber, yes, and the tents were built in the shape of cute little local Indian huts so that all the hallucinating kiddos would have somewhere to go when they needed water or they just had to throw up or whatever goes on at a rave party. I know you drink a lot of water. That's what I've heard. Let's see. The environmentally correct rave out down in Rio de Janeiro, they say that only, this is Greenpeace, they say that only non-genetically modified foods will be served. Isn't that delightful? And the land where the event will take place is a recovered mine and is going to be turned into a state park after they clean up all the needles and used condoms after the four-day rave party down in Rio de Janeiro. So Greenpeace organizers, I'm sure, this being, today's Monday. Is it Monday in Rio de Janeiro? Yeah, it is. They're like West Coast time or something. And you know that clubbers generally don't get out of bed before 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So all the Greenpeace folks down in Rio de Janeiro are nursing hangovers this morning. And I don't know how it went. Have you heard any coverage of this on the news, Matt? Do you watch the news, Matt, or listen to it or read it? No. Matt doesn't participate in the news. And frankly, I don't blame him, because sometimes it's fairly depressing when you go through the news all day, especially when you get to a story like this. What I'm really upset about, and what really bothers me, and what really must tick off all the anarchists who wanted to go down and participate, is that partygoers had to pay a $5 entrance fee. to go to the four-day rave party. One-third of the proceeds, allegedly, will be donated to Greenpeace, and I guess the other two-thirds will, again, go toward the cleaning up of all the empty liquor bottles, water bottles, needles, used condoms, rolling papers, roach clips, and old bongs laying around right there in the rainforest. Matt, you think this is one of the songs that was playing down there in Rio? It was a pretty trippy little ditty there that Tony has put together, crossing a few lines there. What do you call that? He's a crossover hit. This is not the end of the show, is it? You know, the end of the show is running. Oh man, you scared me. I thought maybe I had participated in a 4-day rave, and suddenly I woke up in a time warp, and the hour was past. No, you know what it is. It's the new studio. The new studio has a lot of bugs and glitches, and but we think the phones are working. They worked last week, but this week I was in charge of getting the phones to ring here, so they very well. What's that? Okay, the phones are working, but my call screener says nobody yet has qualified to get on the air. Nobody has brought the goods, so to speak. So the number to call, if you choose to call and you want to deal with my hard-headed call screener, he's vicious, but that's what you need in this business. The number's 800-8-NYART, 800-836-9278, and if you want to call, go ahead and call. Now, from that funny little story about all the hippies down in the rainforest, you know, kids just need something to do. If you don't give them something to do, they're going to end up worshiping trees down in the rainforest and popping ecstasy and doing whatever else goes on down at these club parties. But I'm all for the draft. Let's reintroduce the draft and give all these young teenagers something to do. But that's just my opinion. Otherwise, they're just going to end up hanging down in the clubs. Yeah, yeah. But hey, what are you gonna do? They're just a bunch of kids, bunch of punks down in the rainforest, littering the rainforest with whatever's left over after a rave party. And I don't even want to get into that. Now, do I want to do my depressing news about all the killings? Well, let me do this story because this story grabbed my attention because this is something I've had to deal with in my life. I've at least experienced it to some degree. San Diego, California. A California Highway Patrol officer was killed on Sunday, this Sunday morning past, when a car driven by a drunken Marine slammed into his patrol car. Yeah, Stephen Lyon, 31-year-old officer, was issuing a ticket on I-5 in San Diego when he was struck by a car driven by Marine Lance Corporal Jerome Bates. Jerome Bates, the Marine, was thrown in jail after failing a sobriety test. He's been charged with manslaughter, felony drunken driving, and there's probably three or four other very creative charges that they're going to throw at him. How often does this have to happen? I was in the Marine Corps for 4 years, and I would have to say that this happened at least twice a year, that Marines drunk killed somebody, and not in the line of duty either. You know, drunken Marines, how often does it have to happen? Well, it doesn't have to happen anymore if this young Marine, Jerome A. Bates, would be quickly and painfully put to death. All those vacuum-headed jarheads would think twice before stumbling out of the bar at 3 a.m. and running down innocent citizens and officers of the law. But you know what's going to happen to this punk? They didn't even charge him with murder, manslaughter, and felony drunk driving. His life's ruined, but now he's killed someone. And now the state of California is going to further propagate the criminality of the situation by allowing this punk to get away with murder, whether they throw him in jail or not. We have a caller. We have a caller that made the cut. I'm not sure I know how to work the phone system. I'm just going to try and hit the line, see what happens. All right? Caller, are you there?
How you doing, Doug? This is Jason.
Look at this. I got the phones working. Jason Jones.
Yeah, Jason, I don't know how I made the cut.
Man, well, you know, my call screener, we've got a list of people who make the cut pretty much automatically, and you're on that list.
Oh.
You and Kirk DeZee, and there's a couple other guys.
Well, I was excited that you're on live again.
Yeah.
And I know that pretty soon you guys will be doing more. You know, Salem is coming out with a satellite radio network.
Is that right?
24 hours of talk.
Really? You know, they own a station here in Denver? And you know what they play in the afternoons?
I don't know if I want to know.
They play CNN headline news. And
oh,
you know,
that's great.
You know what's disgusting about it? Is that it's just a rebroadcast of what's going out over the TV. So every time they talk about pictures and stuff, it's just a riot. It's like, what a second-class low-rate radio station.
Well, that's just bizarre.
But we'd love to be on that station, don't get me wrong. But
I would love for you to, so I could listen to you in the car and think pretty soon.
Jason, where are you, man?
I'm in Virginia.
Virginia?
Still working with Human Life International.
Wow.
Having fun. I got to debate Jocelyn Elders for an hour on Alan Combs' radio show, and that was certainly an experience.
So the Jocelyn Elders?
The Jocelyn Elders, and she was talking about her favorite subject again, too.
Oh, no. Oh, Jason, this is a family show.
I'm not going to say it. She's just obsessed with it.
And it's still the M word?
The M word.
Oh, man, that chick's got a one-track mind. I don't know what's
all
up with her.
She wanted to talk about for the whole hour.
Well, now, I guess we don't want to get into the specifics on that, but you say you're still working with Human Life International.
Yeah.
What's the reaction down at Human Life International of George W. Bush's speech on embryonic stem cell research?
Well, we had a press conference on Friday at the National Press Club. FRC sponsored it, and we definitely came out hard against the president.
Against the president?
Oh, definitely.
Hmm.
Alan Key said it best. He looks like a Bush. He walks like a Bush. He talks like a Bush, so he must be a Bush.
Uh-oh. And he means Bush in a derogatory sense.
I think he does, yeah. He's like his father.
How else could you mean it, really? I mean, if you're intellectually honest. So Human Life International not happy with the way the president came down
on
the
issue? Well, the truth is, he's funding embryonic stem cell research. That's what he's doing.
That's what I got out of the speech, but I thought maybe I was confused because some of my conservative friends seem to have been fairly impressed with the speech.
Well, because he pulled a Clinton. They leaked out information that it was going to be worse than it was.
Uh-huh.
That they would fund the destruction of embryos. They leaked it out on CNN.
Right.
And they had Rush Limbaugh talking, you know, hard about how much he supported banning or not funding embryonic stem cell research. And then the president made his announcement, and then everyone acted happy. National Right to Life came out with a press release and said they were delighted with the president's decision.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I've got somewhere in my stack here. I've got it right here. Have you heard what Jerry Falwell had to say?
I don't know if I want to hear this either.
Jerry Falwell says that Bush's stem cell decision is, quote, his finest hour. His finest, we will kill the embryos in the sea and on the land and in the air. This will be our finest hour. Yeah, Jerry Falwell. What did he say here? He says, President Bush adopted the only viable solution to this moral puzzle. It's a puzzle for poor Jerry. Are you with me?
I'm still here.
All right, I know. That you probably have to lay down after hearing that.
Well, I'm puzzled to how he's puzzled.
Well, I'll tell you what, and I'll tell you what I think is puzzling people. And I'll just throw some of these things at you, Jason, and get your reaction.
Sure.
The bottom line is, these embryos, which we could call little babies if we chose to, and if we wanted to raise the tension of the discussion, we could call them little babies. But these embryos were destroyed, which we could say killed, but we want to keep things mellow here. These embryos were destroyed under the directive of a previous government. During which time it was legal to do so. So, since the embryos have already been destroyed, and as President Bush says, the, quote, life and death decision, unquote, has already been made, then would it be immoral to proceed with the experiments, but only on the embryos that were destroyed during the previous administration's directive? So doesn't that make sense? Since the children have already been killed, shouldn't we go ahead and benefit from the science that's available?
That's disgusting.
Does that strike you in your gut as disgusting?
And what's most upsetting about it, and is with these groups like National Right to Life, they think they're too smart for their own good, and I used to work for that organization, and they like to trade and wheel and deal behind the scenes. But what they don't understand is that the war against the unborn is going to that level, the microscopic level, with RU486 and all these different abortifacients. So we need to draw the line there now, because that's where the war is. And they think they made some compromise to get something better than they would have gotten, but they don't understand. They look ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ann Coulter wrote an article. Did you read that?
Ann Coulter?
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't had time, but I heard she wrote an article on this.
It was incredible. She said that feminists for the longest time have been saying that if men could get pregnant, abortion would be a sacrament. And see, if a 13-year-old girl gets pregnant, we tell her not to have an abortion. And she knows that to keep that baby, it's going to make her life more difficult, and she's going to have to make some sacrifices. But we tell her that life is precious, and you need to make those sacrifices, and in the long run, you'll be better. But what does Orrin Hatch say and Senator Frist? See, when it's convenient for you to kill your baby, don't. But when it's convenient for me to kill babies for my health, for my well-being, for potential benefits for me, well, yeah, I'm all for it.
Are you saying Orrin Hatch came out in favor of embryonic stem cell research?
Oh, yeah, he came out. He said that life doesn't begin in a petri dish.
I thought he was a religious man.
Oh, yeah, well, he's got his own planet waiting for him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, let's not get into all that.
I won't get into that.
You know, I want you to answer my question.
Sure.
I want you to answer the question, why do you consider it immoral since the life and death decision's already been made? These babies were killed. Some of them, I don't know how long ago, but maybe a couple years ago even. So, what is inherent...
the fruit from the poison tree? We shouldn't benefit off of murdered children. It's the ACLU's argument that Bob always talks about with pornography.
Well, but I think what you're failing to see here, Jason, is that these children, these embryos, let's just leave it at a sterile level. These embryos were destroyed in a lawful manner. No laws were broken. So now, can we go back and retroactively state that this is immoral since no laws were broken at the time?
No, was that what Bush was saying?
Well, I think that's what he said. He said that we're not going to destroy any more embryos. That's going to be his administration's policy. But the previous administration's policy was different. No laws were broken there, so why not? Why should we not take advantage of the scientific possibilities of the research?
Well, the Germans didn't break any laws when they were experimenting on Jews. So why didn't we use that scientific information?
Well, as a matter of fact, I think we have.
Did we? I know that we claimed that we didn't.
Well, I don't know if we, speaking of America, did, but
we claimed to have destroyed it.
You know that the Swiss would, and the French, you know, they'd do anything, man. They're probably in there. Anyway, but is it a confusing issue because of the way Bush couched his decision? You know, I think what he was trying to do, obviously he was trying to please everybody, and I think when you said he pulled a Clinton, that was my initial response. This is Bill Clinton-esque. This is Bill Clinton's fingerprint on the culture for the next who knows how many years and the next who knows how many administrations, is this Clinton-esque posturing and this ability to pander to both sides and to come up with what he now calls a well-reasoned decision. But I think the bottom line is, who killed these children? Who killed the embryos? And why were they killed?
And we're going to continue to fund the killers.
Yes, that's the bottom line here, is that it doesn't matter whether or not they were destroyed lawfully or the fact that perhaps that the federal government itself wasn't directly responsible for their killing. But the government is now going to underwrite studies and whatever, chopping up these little babies into little pieces, and I don't know what they do with them, whether they snort them or inject them or how they do it exactly. But the government is now going to continue to fund the people who, whether they did it lawfully or unlawfully, they did something immoral in the killing of children. And I think...
And we're rewarding them. Bush is rewarding them.
And don't you think that validates the idea... it validates the murders, that the murders have been now sanctioned and sanitized by the government, and now our hands have been washed, so to speak.
And that, I blame Right to Life. I blame the pro-life organizations focused on the family, the groups who waffled.
Yeah.
If these groups had a spine, the president wouldn't have had room to wiggle.
Well, I think the fact is that George W. Bush knows that he needs to worry about pleasing the liberals. The conservatives, he's got them buffaloed. I mean, I've talked to some of them. I mean, it's like they got the thousand-yard stare. George W. Bush, good. Democrats bad. And let's admit it, it's awful hard for a lowly pro-life organization to stand up against the great and mighty intellect of George W. Bush.
We're riding our high horses.
All right, it's Bob Inyart Live. I'm Doug McBurney, the host of the Weekly Worldview. I'm sitting in this week. See, Matt, they wouldn't have put up with that at the rave party. That wasn't very good. All right, but I need to make an announcement. I'm going to go back to Jason in just a moment. I want to let you all know about Bob's upcoming seminar. Bob Inyart will be in Warsaw, Indiana on Saturday, September 15th, appearing at the Westminster Hotel. Don't be left behind. Bob is going to talk about the end times, the revelation, the destruction of the world, all that good stuff. You know, we talked about embryonic stem cell research at church for an hour this week, and at the end of it, the only conclusion I could reach is, surely God is about to destroy the world. But hopefully he won't destroy it before September 15th, and even if he does, we'll just have the seminar elsewhere. September 15th at the Westminster Hotel, Warsaw, Indiana. I've got a number you can call. You want to call Mel to get all the details. Call Mel at 219-453-3048. If you missed that, well, hit rewind on your Real Player, and you can listen to it again. But I'll say it again before the end of the show. Call Mel, 219-453-3048. Get with it. Bob Inyart's End Times Seminar in Warsaw, Indiana. That's Saturday, September 15th. Call Mel. Get all the details. You'll be glad you did. And now let's go back to Jason. Are you with me?
I'm still here, Doug.
All right. Hey, the phones are working pretty good, huh?
Yeah, you got a great new studio. It sounds great.
Hey, we got the kickin' Gentner high-end phone system, too. There's only one other station here in Denver that has it. All the other stations are, I don't know what they're running. You know, probably like some cups and strings and stuff. But we're high-tech here at the studio. Hey, I wanted to see if there was anything else interesting that Jerry Falwell had to say.
Sure.
Let me see here. He said, Jerry's concerned. He says, my only concern about this decision is that when Congress considers this issue, as most believe it soon will, some members may seek to manipulate the president's decision and attempt to expand embryonic research beyond the protective plan announced by Mr. Bush. Do you think that's a possibility, Jason?
I think it's an absolute guarantee.
Would you trust a government that has advocated the killing of 40 million children with this type of research?
No, there's never enough. The day after the president made his decision, they came out and said killing 60 babies isn't enough.
Yeah.
We need to develop more stem cell lines,
mm-hmm.
and more and more and more, and they'll never be satisfied. They're willing to sacrifice. To tell you the truth, Doug, I'm absolutely shocked that this is even an issue in our country. I mean, they kill babies 9 months after conception.
Yeah.
They slice them and dice them. They're selling their organs. No one seems to care.
Well, I think the only reason it's an issue is because a few pro-lifers squeal about it. And Jason, by the way, just in case you were worried, don't worry. Listen to what Jerry Falwell says at the end of the article. He says, however, in regards to the Congress expanding the plan, Jerry Falwell says, however, we will fight that battle when the time comes, and we in the pro-life community will be resolute in defending life. My question to Mr. Falwell, where were you in 1974, Mr. Resolute Pro-Lifer? Where was he? Jason, you know what we need to do? We need to find out what happened in America in the days and weeks following the legalization of abortion. Because I want to know where all these self-righteous Christian leaders were when the bloodshed started. I was a little too young to get involved, to be honest with you, in 74. And you were probably a little young yourself.
I was about two.
Yeah. So we were a little young. But where were these Christian leaders who now go on TV and have tea with the president and do all the talk shows? Where were they then? And how can we trust them? How can we believe that anything is going to stop this? How can we believe that any pro-life organization is going to be able to stand up to it now that 25 years have passed? 30 years, is it? How many years? 26 years? 27 years? And, I mean, that's a lot of blood. And I don't know that we're ever going to be able to satisfy the bloodlust of the left. And it appears that the initial battle over abortion was won. That battle's over. So I don't think we can hold out much hope that anyone is going to be able to satisfy the bloodlust of the left.
Well, doesn't he have like a speaking tour?
Jerry Falwell?
Yeah, like he's going around the country with some liberal right now.
No, is that right?
Yeah, and I forget who it is.
That wouldn't surprise
me. He definitely does not. He makes a living playing the right-wing straw man.
Yeah, well, and he's done that very well for 30 years that I can remember.
Yeah, and the right, the conservative leadership is generally a bunch of cowards, second-guessers, and half-steppers. And I hate to say it, it's the baby boom conservative leadership. They're cowardly.
Yeah.
They're always finding ways to compromise. They're always making excuses. And they're not used to winning. And when this was an easy win, this was the first time I could see a president had the right thing to do was also the politically expedient thing to do.
Yeah.
Yet he still couldn't do it.
Well, but he wouldn't, if he did it, I don't think he'd get elected again, Jason. And you know, just to be frank about it, the way the electorate looks these days, I don't see a president coming out in any strong pro-life situation helping himself politically. I don't think it's true anymore. I think more than half the people don't care that children are being killed. They just don't care. And if the president were to come out as pro-life, half of the electorate would be turned off, more than half, quite possibly.
But see, I don't know, Doug, his speech was the most pro-life speech ever given.
Yeah,
if you listen to it, to the average person.
He did throw the L word in quite a few times.
He came out talking like, you know, he had his advisors quoting the Pope. He had all the right lines. He said all the right things. He even quoted Reagan.
Yeah.
You know, he threw in the line about if you're unsure, you know, if it's life, if you don't know, some people say it is life, some people says it isn't life. And, of course, Reagan said, therefore, we err on the side of not killing.
Right, right.
But that's not what Bush said.
Well, I think that George W. Bush is, you know, he reminded me so much of Pilate. He's just washing his hands. Hey, my hands are clean, and we're going to move forward, and we're not going to destroy any embryos, he says. And I was frankly sickened by the whole thing myself. And
it was tragic, and it was tragic to see how a lot of the conservative groups lined up.
Well, I have a good friend who's in a group called the Survivors. His name's Keith. He's a young guy, strong pro-life guy. And we had lunch when he was in town the other day, and he asked me, you know, what is it going to take in America for people's hearts and minds to be changed? And I didn't really have an answer for him for the country. I said, individually, we can do what we can. But as far as the country, I think it's lost.
We can't even wake up our churches.
Yeah. I mean, where were the churches in 74? This is another thing I'd like to do. If we had a research staff, I would like to research sermons that were given for the whole year at following the Supreme Court decision and find out what was said in the churches. Were there any churches that were even mildly upset at the idea of legalized child killing? And I think, I'm afraid that what we would find is, you know, there were probably a lot of sermons on Vietnam and tithing and all kinds of other interesting subjects. But Roe v. Wade was probably left alone. Or surely the Christian community would have risen up and done something, even something minor.
Yeah, I don't know. I know when I've spoken at Christian groups, oftentimes they've been offended by what I've said. And or I was speaking to a Christian college group, and the pastor of that organization, who called himself pro-choice, although he was against abortion personally.
Oh, yeah.
You know, lectured me for, well, actually he prayed after my talk. We all got together, and he prayed out loud that the Lord would teach the hard-hearted to be compassionate.
Oh, boy.
And loving.
I always love that when the nicer-than-God Christians pray for me.
Yeah, right to your face.
Oh, that always makes me feel so good.
I've been
prayed for and then thrown out of buildings. I'm sure that's happened to you, Jason.
Yeah, well, it's sad. We're actually starting a new organization called PLE, Pro-Life Evangelism America.
Yeah.
We're actually going to target churches for picketing, protesting, leafleting their cars in the parking lot.
Great. Great.
Because why are we wasting our time lobbying politicians when the body of Christ is half asleep?
Yeah, it's a sad state. It's a sad state. Well, I think we've hashed through this issue plenty. Jason, I should probably let you go and give
up. Yeah, thanks, Doug, for having me on. And I met your friend Keith. We actually were protesting outside of the Chinese embassy together.
I know. He told me the whole story. I was very impressed.
So he's a neat guy.
And you guys are a couple of young, fired up guys. And I told Keith, I said, that's what it's going to take to make any headway, is we got to get some young people who aren't afraid to just go forward in the battle and risk, risk something. Whereas the churches and the Christians back in the 70s, they just were afraid to risk anything. And they were just a bunch of wimps. And now there's like this huge callus on the heart of the country, and it's going to be the young people who are going to have to be, that we got to reach. We've got to reach the young people and just try to prevent the abortion, you know, in one girl. That's got to be our goal. But as far as America, forget about it, man. It's down the drain.
We need pro-life activists to be as brave as Jane Fonda was in the 60s.
Exactly. There you go.
I mean, she went to North Vietnam.
Mounted an anti-aircraft gun. That's what we need, pro-lifers with large caliber weapons. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know about that.
I'm just
There's that VATCOM or whatever that is.
I know.
I don't know. They probably listen to your show.
I say things like that just to upset people on the left and to make them think I'm crazy, but I don't think we need large caliber weapons. But I tell you, it's going to be interesting. But you stay in touch, Jason, okay? Let's see if maybe there's another caller who can make the cut, okay, Jason?
All right.
You take care, man, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Jason Jones calling from Virginia, in close proximity to Washington, D.C., if I'm not mistaken. He must have to take 2-3 showers a day just to live out there. Dateline Council Bluffs, Iowa. Two officers shot and killed an armed man at a soccer game Sunday afternoon. Two other people were injured in the shootings. Police were still trying to determine who injured them. The incident may have been gang-related. See that? Soccer gangs forming. That's scary. Now, you can tell that the country's definitely on its way down the tubes when even the soccer matches are violent. Even a delightful young girl's game turns violent. That's not good. Speaking of, do I want to do any more on the embryonic stem cell? I think I'm done with that issue. I think I've made my position clear. And if somebody wants to dispute it, I would like to dispute it with them. If you want to dispute it, give me a call, 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYAR. Don't call me up and tell me, Doug, I agree with you. You're great. You're right. I want someone, because we had a rather spirited conversation at church this week. There's some George W. Bush supporters in the church. We haven't excommunicated them all yet. No, we don't excommunicate them. We just cause them to flee, generally. But we have another caller that made the cut. How many calls have you screened so far? He's screened literally hundreds of calls so far, and this is the second one to make the cut. It's Eric. Eric, are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, call screener. You can get that other call and try to screen it. Eric, what's going on?
Not much. I talked to you a long time ago on Biblical Answers.
Yes, yes.
I'm a new Christian, and I still am, and I'm still learning about the Bible.
Yeah?
Is it okay to ask a Bible question? I know Bob Enyart doesn't usually talk about doctrinal things on the air.
Well, that depends. If it's a lame Bible question, I don't want to hear it. But if it's an interesting Bible question, I like the Bible. Do you like the Bible?
Oh, yeah.
Man, I dig the Bible. The Bible's cool. So let it rip, man.
Okay. Well, I was listening to a pastor named Dr. Arnold Murray. I don't know if you've heard of him or not.
Uh-huh.
And he was telling me that God created the races before Adam and Eve. And I looked through the Bible, and I didn't remember seeing that.
You didn't remember seeing that? What, were you not paying attention?
Is it right in the beginning?
Well, it would have to be, right? It was before Adam and Eve, right?
Right.
Doesn't your Bible have a page II?
No.
Right before page one, where it goes into the other race and all that?
It doesn't really...
Is your Bible missing that page?
I'm reading from King James. Is it different than...
Oh, there's the problem. No, Eric, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
The fact is that Arnold Murray's dead wrong on this. There's no biblical information that would support the idea that there was any creation before the creation that's established in Genesis 1:1 and the first several chapters of Genesis. You know, I'm not sure if I'm qualified to answer this question. Arnold Murray says that there was possibly a race of people before Adam and Eve. I want to bring on a guest who may be able to help us with this question from on line one. Bob, are you there?
Arnold's wrong.
Really?
Hey, Eric.
Yeah.
It's Bob Enyart calling from a lake somewhere in the Midwest.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, Eric. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. We're in the middle of our family vacation, family reunion in Wisconsin.
Oh, great.
And, Arnold Murray, you know, he's a Christian guy, and I think he's brought a lot of people to the Lord.
Right.
But he says, for example, that Cain and Abel, well, Cain's father was the devil.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he teaches that very clearly. He states that, and he has been teaching that for years. In Genesis, what is it, Genesis 3:1, I'm sorry, Genesis 4:1 says that Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have received a man from the Lord.
Oh, okay.
So he takes that verse and somehow says that the devil was Cain's father.
Wow.
So if you can get that out of Genesis 4:1, you right. could pretty much find anything you want to find.
Well, I'm no biblical scholar, but I know I didn't read that.
Hey, Eric?
Yeah?
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
When you first heard Arnold Murray's position on that, did that strike you as possible or kind of weird?
I thought it was a little strange.
All right.
I've always grown up believing that Adam and Eve were the first two people.
See, you're well on your way to becoming more of a biblical scholar than most people who have television ministries.
Well, I try not to watch too much of it because they contradict each other, and I'm still looking for a church to go to, so I'm still learning, and it was just a question I had.
Now, Eric, once Arnold Murray committed to having these races, and especially the Kenites, the people he doesn't like, in existence at the time of Adam and Eve or thereabouts,
right?
Then he had a problem with the flood, because in the flood everyone was wiped out except for one family, Noah and his three sons and their wives. So the Bible says repeatedly that they're the only ones who survived the flood, only 8 people on the ark. And Arnold Murray denies that and says that this other race also survived.
Okay.
So once you go astray in such an obvious area, you have to get increasingly weird to defend your position.
So, I was reading Genesis to find this out,
mm-hmm.
and God said, let man be created in his image, I think it was.
Right.
To multiply.
Right.
And then it mentions the creation of Adam, and that's where I think I got it from. Is he talking about creating Adam then?
Well, if you read any history book in all the world,
right.
you'll find that the storyline jumps back and forth. And a history book has to do that so that we don't go insane trying to read it.
Oh.
In other words, it gives you a brief overview
right.
of what happened in George Washington's life, and then it settles down to telling you some of the details. And you wouldn't say, well, in the previous page they said he became the president, and now they're telling us that he chopped down a cherry tree. Something's out of whack here.
Right.
You would say, on the previous page they gave an overview of what happened, and now they're giving us some of the details. And that's what the Bible does.
Oh, okay.
And it's so natural. I'm not exaggerating when I say every history book in the world does that.
Right.
But when God does it, because it's the only way to reasonably tell a story, people tear him apart and say it's contradictions, it's implying some weirdness, when it's not. God created man in chapter 1 Genesis 1, 26, 27, God said, let us make man. In chapter 2, he explains in detail the creation of man, Adam and Eve.
Oh, okay.
So,
I'm trying to, I have a problem with my brother. I think he's part atheist. He sort of believes, but doesn't really. And he wants to know how I could tell him that God is the true God. Is there any answer you can give me to that?
Well, does he? So he's not sure if there is a God?
I think he sort of believes in something. I don't know what it is.
I would press him on, is there such a thing as right and wrong? Absolute right and absolute wrong. And if he says there is not, then I would try to shame him into admitting that there is.
Right.
And as soon as someone admits that there's such a thing as absolute right and absolute wrong, then whether they realize it or not, they've admitted that there is a personal God of justice.
Okay.
And once you bring him to that point, then it's another step to figure out who that God is.
Okay.
Hey, but I didn't want to be stealing Doug's show.
Oh, that's okay, Bob. You're giving this guy an evangelical shotgun here. This is great.
Good.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Eric.
Eric, we're going to have to let you go and try to make room for the numerous other callers who are trying to make it through the screener.
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you so much, and good luck with your brother. We'll pray for you, Eric. God bless.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bob, are you still there?
Hey, Doug, in 15 minutes, I have to be back at the cabin in the lake to do a mini version of our God 101 seminar.
All right.
We've got Al with me.
Yeah.
And we've got all our beautiful photos that we used for that seminar.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a blast.
Well, that is tremendous. You got some new people that you're going to expose to this stuff?
Well, pretty much just the family.
Ooh, the family. That's the toughest. That's the toughest, Bob.
Yeah, you're right.
You're a brave man. You know, I gave an announcement about your seminar coming up in Warsaw.
Yes.
Yes. Don't be left behind, folks.
That's right.
Hear about the end time, Saturday, September 15th. I'll give Mel's number out at the end of the show. But there was one main reason, Bob, and it'll only take you a minute or two, because there was a momentous event this past week in the life of our nation, and that was the President of the United States finally took a position. He made a decision on embryonic stem cell research.
Right.
I know you're on vacation, but have you had an opportunity to hear portions of the speech? Or you have?
Yeah, I heard what he did.
Well, Bob, I've heard every pundit from the left, the right, the center, outer space, on TV, NBC. I've heard everyone talk about it, and I want to know what to think about this, so I wanted to call you and find out. What is your take on what George W. Bush said?
Well, Bush should have said that it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to sell stolen property, it's wrong to knowingly receive stolen property. Those things are crimes, and they should be. And it's doubly wrong when you murder someone and then sell their property, and then knowingly receive stolen property from a victim who's now dead.
Stealing.
And what's happened here is, obviously, we've killed these innocent human beings, undoubtedly before they even knew what hit them. We've killed them, and we're using their body parts for our own benefit. And that's criminal. George W. Bush should have said that the people who killed these children one day will be brought to justice. And if I'm unable to do it, God in heaven will bring them to justice. But would I fund research involved with the body parts of innocent human beings who've been killed? Never. Would I fund continued research if we find corpses left over from Auschwitz? Never. Because I'm here to uphold the sanctity of human life, and to be the enemy of anyone who would kill any innocent person for any excuse whatsoever. And the worst possible excuse is for the benefit of mankind, for research, and for progress.
So, ladies and gentlemen, did you hear that? What other pundit started out with an analysis of stolen property? Who else could make it so clear? You're so lucky to be tuned into KGov and that our phone system is able to conference in Bob from Lake wherever out there, Lake Wobegon. Because I tell you what, Bob, I've heard so many things said about it that I've started to doubt my own initial reaction that this was completely evil and without any merit.
Mm.
And I think the idea that this is stolen property taken from someone murdered against their will,
sure,
that's hardcore, Bob. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, Doug. Now, I'm at a gas station about almost 15 minutes from Lake Chetak.
Lake Chetak.
I'm going to have to jump in my car and probably speed to get back there on time.
Okay, let's not break any laws.
Okay.
But thank you so much for calling in, Bob, to your own show.
Yeah.
And you know, I may be doing this again next Monday. Are you going to be back next Monday?
I will not be back until the Bible study Wednesday night.
So I'll be guest hosting, and we'll see if we can pipe Bob in again on our new Kickin' Gentner hot phone system.
That would be fun. Hey, Doug, I was thrilled. I couldn't get through. I had to call a backup line.
Hey, we were full. Matt's been rejecting callers out of hand. It's just great. All right, thanks, Bob. Have fun, and okay, we'll touch base later.
Okay, and hey, thank the engineer, too, for being there. Thank you, Matt.
I'll do that.
And I'll see you, Doug.
All righty. God bless, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bob Enyart calling in from, what lake was it? I forgot the name already. Chetak. Lake Chetak. Is that Minnesota, Wisconsin? It's in the Minnesota, Wisconsin area. But how awesome is that? Had we considered that at church, Matt, the stolen property, the fact that this is the property of people that were murdered? We didn't consider that. Would that have helped you get your brain around the situation? Of course it would have, Matt. I tell you, Bob always crystallizes the debate. And always helps us to see the truth. I knew that W's decision was at its core rotten, but I wasn't sure if I could actually explain why. And some people, they get annoyed with my fiery rhetoric about chopping up babies and eating them. They say that's not the tack to take if you want to have a civilized debate. And I say, what's so civilized about chopping up little babies and snorting them and injecting them and turning them into pills or whatever they plan to do with them? But great stuff from Bob. All right, let's see. We're into the last waning moments of the program here, and I've got tons of news. Well, I mean, 12 minutes is waning in the big picture, you know. All right, let's see here. What do we want? I don't want to do anything more on the stem cells because I think there's not much more to be said. We don't kill people and steal their body parts. We don't do it for any reason, and we don't profit from the murder of innocent people, whether it was done by the Nazis or whether it was done by Clonaid or whoever these companies are doing all this stuff. All right, here we've got an interesting justice story. This would have been one I'd have liked to run by Bob if he hadn't had to go back to to educate some people on the basic fact of the existence of God, and we appreciate the fact that Bob is out there in the heartland, in the Midwest, educating the, not atheists, what would you call them? The agnostics, the confused, people who just aren't sure if there's a God or why they're here or anything. Bob's going to hit them with this seminar, God 101. It's really strong stuff, and that should be a tremendous success. Along with Bob's seminar out in Warsaw, Indiana. Don't be left behind. Get in on Bob's End Time Seminar, Saturday, September 15th at the Westminster Hotel, Warsaw, Indiana. You can call Mel to get all the details, and she's at area code 219-453-3048. Give Mel a call. Get all the information on Bob's seminar in Warsaw, Indiana, Saturday, September 15th, where he will be handing out evangelical claymores. It's really going to be cool. Yeah. All right. And we mean that, of course, in the best of senses. Here we go, folks. Listen, an interesting justice story. Bear with me. Dateline Detroit. A man was charged Sunday with killing a 3-month-old infant handed over to him at a bus stop by the infant's mother. Police said that Shaniqua Betty gave her infant son Isaiah to Harold Reed, a stranger at a bus stop on August 3rd, and asked Reed to look after the baby while she got her crack pipe, her purse, somebody wrote this, from her boyfriend's apartment. Reed, the stranger at the bus stop, was charged Sunday with first-degree felony murder, first-degree premeditated murder, and to be even more creative, first-degree child abuse. resulting in death. Police on Thursday arrested him after his family told the cops that he had killed a child in the home there. This dirtbag led the police to an abandoned building in a burned-out neighborhood just 5 blocks from the bus stop where Shaniqua last saw her little son, Isaiah. The boy's body was found in a second-floor bedroom under a pile of trash and debris. Court records show that Shaniqua has a history of psychological problems. A court-ordered psychological evaluation warned last year that she was, quote, not capable of caring for or rearing a baby, unquote. Police Chief Charles Wilson has said he does not know if charges will be filed against Shaniqua. What? First of all, I'm puzzled. Not unlike, who was that guy? Jerry Falwell. He's puzzled by the whole stem cell debate. I'm puzzled by this story. Why do you hand your baby over to a stranger at a bus stop? I'm not sure I understand that. But beyond that, that's strange enough, but I can see that happening. If someone is unstable psychologically, maybe they freak out, they're in some kind of alternate dimension in their own mind, and they hand their baby to a stranger at a bus stop. Okay, that's not cool, but I could see that happening, I suppose, in someone else's family. But the question is, why does the stranger then kill the child? What's going on there? I mean, if someone handed me a baby at a bus stop, my first instinct would not to be, quick, let's find a burned-out building and kill this child. What's going on with people? I don't understand. I guess we'll get more details as the story comes out. But it's just shocking. It's just shocking. She hands over a baby by chance to a complete stranger, and instead of taking the baby and, I don't know, take it to a hospital, a church, take it home maybe, give it a bath, some food, he takes it to a burned-out building and kills it. I wonder if this guy was actually a stranger. I guess we'll have to wait and find out. Just a disturbing story. Crime is down, though. Don't you worry. And Jerry Falwell is on the case. He's vigilant. Yes. So don't you worry. Okay. Israeli intelligence is telling the United States, hey, guys, you should be focused on Iran, not Iraq. Yeah, that's the one that ends with an N and not a Q. Israeli intelligence says that Iran now has the Shahab 3 ballistic missile with a range of 800 miles and chemical and biological warheads to boot. Ben Eliezer, Defense Minister Benjamin Ben Eliezer there in Israel says that he says, quote, I believe that Iran is entering into the development of the Shahab 4 missile that will have a range of 2,000 kilometers. That's about 1,200 miles here in America. He says that the Islamic Republic would have a nuclear bomb within 4 years. The Israeli minister also criticized UNIFIL. UNIFIL, what is that? Is that something that comes inside your pillow? No. The UNIFIL is the United Nations force along the Lebanese-Israeli border, which Ben Eliezer says has set up basically a film company, alluding to the fact that Indian peacekeepers in UNIFIL shot film before and after Hezbollah abducted 3 Israeli soldiers last October. They filmed the whole thing. Didn't fire a single shot. Israeli soldiers kidnapped by Hezbollah. Unbelievable. He says UNIFIL monitors and reports, but it doesn't act. So what's the point? You know, you could probably get one Jewish platoon could probably rout the whole UNIFIL in about 15 minutes. That's a female platoon of bakers. Go in and rout the UNIFIL and push them into the sea. Ben Eliezer says that Israel does have a great relationship right now with Turkey, surprisingly enough. He says there's an excellent relationship in all respects with Turkey. And that's interesting because our church is going to Turkey next year. We're going to go to Damascus. We're going to walk the Damascus Road. Pretty cool. Not bad for a church that was formerly named Damascus Road and currently hovers in the ether without an official name. We just call it church. But, hey, Ben Eliezer says, forget about Iraq. You guys should be worried about Iran. They're going to develop a nuke. They're going to have a missile that can deliver it, you know, right into Israel or any of their neighbors. But here in America, of course, Saddam Hussein's been a rather convenient punching bag for presidents past, present, future, fathers, sons, perverts, presidents. And we're all concerned about Saddam Hussein. And I think that Ben Eliezer makes a great point here. Listen to this story, Dateline Baghdad. That's in Iraq, the one that ends with a Q, not an N. The Iraqi National Theater is preparing to turn a romantic novel, apparently written by President Saddam Hussein, into a musical. In the story, the king's lover, Zabiba, is raped on January 17th, which just so happens to be the same day U.S.-led forces launched the 1991 offensive and drove Iraq out of Kuwait. In the story, the musical, la 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 Saddam, in the musical, now I don't think they allow, well, I'm not going to go there. In the musical, the king dies after capturing the rapist and avenging his lover Zabiba's honor. Besides the love story, the novel is dominated by talk of how to succeed the king, and it has prompted speculation that the 64-year-old museful Saddam, who has ruled Iraq since 1979, is preparing to hand over power to one of his sons, so who's probably even more cracked up and loony than even old Saddam himself. Dateline Kuala Lumpur. I have no idea where that is. Wait, it's in Malaysia. A Malaysian state... hold on a second here. That doesn't make sense. This is obviously a typo by Reuters, and they're British, for crying out loud. A state program will treat youths it says belong to a satanic heavy metal music cult with an herbal remedy to improve their brains. This is the Malaysian version of psychotropic drugs. They go to herbs. I think most of these kids are probably dabbling in herbs, as a matter of fact. Anyway, the state says this herb is to stimulate the brain so the students can concentrate on their studies and stop listening to heavy metal. He said about 150 alleged black metal members from 15 schools would begin the herb program on Tuesday. Last month, the government said it unearthed a cult whose members, it said, practiced animal sacrifice and destroyed religious texts. Some schools, some school officials there in Kuala Lumpur have carried out strip searches of students and to check for tattoos, crucifixes worn upside down, and other symbols they say would identify students as cult members. These kids don't need herbs or psychotropic drugs. They need hell beat out of them, frankly. Well, I don't know how, and I think they do that in Malaysia. They regularly beat hell out of young kids who are involved in all kinds of evil, wicked, black magic, and all kinds of other stuff. I think that's it, man. I think I'm out of material. No other callers to make the cut. The caller's on hold. We're going to have to drop you off. But we appreciate you trying. And let's see. I forget how Bob ends his show. Hold on. I wanted to make one more. September 15th. Don't forget, September 15th. In Westminster Hotel, Westminster Hotel, Warsaw, Indiana, Bob Enyart. Don't be left behind. It's the end times, folks. Embryonic stem cell research. Surely God is about to destroy the world. This is Bob Enyart Live. Doug McBurney sitting in, reminding you to always do right and risk the consequences.